Luke, please. We're going to be in chapter 21. The craziest thing, the last couple of months, the hospital has been putting out signs that say blood needed. Red Cross, they're going to come and collect blood, and it's an urgent need. And I pull in that parking lot every day, and I thought about that because we look at blood as Baptists, and Bible believers, we look at blood as life and how important that it is and how urgent the need truly is for there to be blood donors to give blood. Now, this is not for that, but it got me to thinking on the spiritual side of things. Every once in a while I do that. That was a joke. But on the spiritual side of things, I believe that there's a deeper need for blood than there's ever been before. The spiritual side of Jesus Christ shed blood. And I read through these verses here, and I came across a verse, and I want to challenge you tonight because I tell you, it's got a hold of me to think of the responsibility that is on us now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not after you get done with a few things, that has fallen to us right now. And I want you to stand with me. We're going to read Luke chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 8. The Bible says, "And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Look at this verse. "And it shall turn to you for a testimony." And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Let's pray tonight. Jim, could you lead us in prayer, Jim Shell? Please. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Please continue to pray for my wife. Several of the teachers are also sick. I know Shannon's at home sick. But my wife, she's terribly sick right now. The boy's homesick as well. So make sure that you pray for them. We got a lot of folks in the church right now that need your prayers for sickness. So make sure you pray for that. There have been many that have, that Tito Mel, there's loads of them, I'd add. There have been many in the scriptures that we can talk about. Many in the scriptures that have done something in the scriptures that we can see and pull from that have carried forward the cause of Christ. You've got Moses, you've got Noah and Joshua. You've got Job and Esther, Rahab and David, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Paul, one of my favorite in the whole Bible, a man that had all kind of knowledge but didn't have the knowledge of the Lord. But later in his life, he was able to further the cause of Christ just because he was so fervent about it. He knew that it was his turn and his time. And Peter the same way, and Barnabas. The hem of the garment lady, remember her? The hem of the garment lady couldn't wait to go out and tell people about Christ, so people lined up just to touch the hem of his garment. The widow with the two mites, her story's been told ever since. You could talk about Mary. All of these kept the testimony of Christ, every last one of them. They kept the testimony of Christ, giving us something to talk about, to fight for. They kept the testimony of Christ, so His name would be propagated. His gospel would be propagated. None of these people tried to propagate their own name. None of these people tried to further their own thoughts, their own agenda. They just wanted to further the testimony of Christ. They didn't wait around to make sure that they were ready to do this. They just did what they were asked to do. The Lord says, get rid of everything you have and follow me. The Lord said, just follow me. The Lord said to follow me. The Lord said to get rid of your family. Don't worry about them. Just follow me. I don't see one time in the scripture where the Lord allows somebody to just go ahead and take their time before they follow him. I don't see one time in the scripture where the Lord gives a person an opportunity to go make things right in their life before they follow him. Jesus just wanted them to follow him. As I looked at those signs, I thought to myself, good night, if what would happen if we stopped giving blood? What would happen if we stopped giving what people need to keep them alive? The thought came to my mind, oh my soul, what happens if we would stop giving out the gospel? Better question, I think, is to ask, what would happen if we would start? Any of the people I mentioned, let's get out of the Bible. How about Jack Hiles? He surely furthered the cause of Christ. Billy Sunday, he furthered the cause of Christ. Dr. Jim, boy, he certainly furthered the cause of Christ. Talked about the Lord wherever he went. Dr. Lacey, although he's still alive, he has a hard time getting around now, and he's not talking about the Lord as much as he used to. None of those people, except for Dr. Al, none of those people are still here. None of those people are still around. You know, preacher, I dare say they've taken their turn. They are no longer here. We can't go ahead and ask Dr. Hiles to come speak to us. We can't say, Billy Sunday, would you please come back and set up tabernacles, because he's no longer here. We can't say, Paul, could you tell us those wondrous stories? Oh, we'll see him again, but that not while they're here. They're no longer here. See, the people back in those days and back in those times that we hold on to for furthering the testimony of Christ, I've got to be honest with you, I don't believe these passages are talking about that time. I don't believe the passages in the scripture that I just read to you are dealing with that time. I believe those passages are dealing with a time yet to come, and it's going to fall to us. It's going to fall to us because they are no longer here. They've passed on the testimonies to us. They've passed on the gospel of Christ to us. They've passed on what they had, what the Lord gave them, they've passed on to us. And preacher, I've got to be honest with you, it's now fallen to us. We can't go grab them anymore. We can't go hold on to them anymore. I'm blessed. I still have my dad. I still have my preacher. There's going to be a day when I will no longer have my preacher. It's going to fall to me to do something about God's business. It's going to fall to me to do something great for God. It's going to fall to me. How can we possibly get this done? Paul is gone. Dr. Hiles is gone. Dr. Jim is gone. How can we possibly do that? I'll tell you how. Because God is still God in this generation. Jesus is still Jesus in this generation. And I've got to be honest with you, I worry. I worry that we're not going to take our turn. I worry that the revivals will go away because we didn't take our turn. I worry that the altars will dry up because we didn't take our turn. I worry that the good songs will go away because we didn't take our turn. I worry. We're the ones. It's us. Quit looking around the room. It's not them. It's you. What's grabbed a hold of me is what happens if we stop telling people about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What happens if we stop? The Bible says it shall turn to us. To us. Don't look around the room. It's to us. Our turn. We're here now. Now, not tomorrow, not next week, not after you get your boat, not after you get your car, not after you get your house, not after you get your linen squared away, not after you get your bills paid. No, it's now, today, now! It has turned to us. They're gone. They're in heaven in that great cloud of witnesses cheering us to do something. Why do we need that boy to surrender to preach someday? It's between him and God. I'm not going to play that game. But understand this. Why do we need the young people to hear about Christ? Quit telling your young people they can't serve God. Quit telling young people that God has changed. He has not changed. What would I be if I was not a preacher? What would I be if I was not serving the Lord in some capacity? What would I be? We've worried and worried and worried. How can we possibly serve God? How can we possibly serve? In this day and age, so much has changed. Nothing has changed. God has not changed. Christ has not changed. The Word has not changed. We've changed. It's us. Everything in the whole wide world has become an excuse. Everything in the whole wide world. And as I read this scripture, it breaks my heart because I've got a boy that's 10 years old and he needs to know Jesus Christ. Oh, I know he's saved. I'm talking about knowing Christ. He needs to know that that's going to be passed down to him and he needs to take his turn. You're not happy tonight, are you? I think we ought to do things out at the land. I really do. I think we ought to get busy about that land. I think we ought to get busy about Christ's blood. I think we ought to get busy about that testimony. Verse 12, look at this now. We're going to go on here in a minute. I'm going to get to my points here in a minute. I'm starting to become an actual Baptist preacher. I have 85 minutes of preaching before I get to my points. But before all these, before these things happen, they shall lay their hands on you. Are you going to keep taking? Are you going to take your turn if they lay their hands on you? See, be very careful. It's easy to say yes now. I want you to think with me. Quit saying amen. You don't mean it. I want you to think with me for a minute. Just think with me. You don't have to. This isn't anything special tonight. I'm worried. I'm worried about an America that has no problem with what's going on right now. I'm worried about a Christian that has no problem keeping tracts in their pocket, keeping their Bible at home, and showing up once in a while for church. I'm worried. They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. What if somebody met you at the door and said, you go walk into church, you get punched in the mouth? I'll go find another church. Delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. We're not too far off from that, folks. We keep preaching like this. They're going to come get us. I pray to God that we have the tenacity and the spine to keep preaching no matter if they come or not. And now listen, I say those things because we haven't had to face it yet. Things change when the wolf knocks at the door. But is that anything different than what Paul faced? He's no longer here. He can't do it anymore. Is that anything different than the death threats that Dr. Hiles got? He's no longer here. He can't do it anymore. These babies that we're having, what are they going to have? I said, what are they going to have? Look at this verse. You need to read this and put this into your mind and burn it into your brain and put it into your memory, and it shall turn to you. Don't look around the room. You reflect on you right now. Right now! It's going to turn to you, nobody else. You! What if you were it? What if you were the last? What if you were the one? It shall turn to you for a testimony. Don't cry about somebody else. Oh, they'll serve God for me. No, it's fallen to you. The testimony has fallen to you. Who else is it going to fall to? I can't allow the testimony of Jesus Christ that's been brought to my life to fall to somebody else. I've got to take my turn. It's my turn. I'm 43 years old. It's my turn. God has called me to preach. God has called me to serve. It's my turn. And I don't want to take, I'm going to be honest with you. Even in my life, I take a lot for granted that I just go ahead and work and don't think about Jesus sometimes. I take for granted, and a lot of times I don't do what I'm supposed to do in witnessing. I don't do what I'm supposed to do in passing on that testimony. And I got to be honest with you, Mr. Kuharski, that's not enough. It's not enough, son, to come to church and be in church. It's your turn. See, here's the thing, son, it's your turn. You've been afforded this wonderful life. Now it's your turn. You're going to start sitting back there. Whose turn is it? Why do these men need to learn, know how to preach? Why do these men need to get called? Why do these men need to know you can get called? Why does it happen? Because Colton, now it's your turn. It's your turn. Carl, your turn's not over yet, sir. As long as you're kicking on this earth, it's your turn. What are you doing for the testimony of Christ? For the testimony of Christ. What happens if you stop giving blood? What happens if you stop giving that gospel? What happens? Did everything Paul do Did it go in vain? Did everything that Dr. Heil started, did that, whatever, the fundamental, I want to throw up every time I hear about this. Let's all just worship God and follow the Bible. Can we just do that? Let me tell you something. He took his turn. He's no longer here. Now we are. It's us. It's you. It's me. We've got to take our turn with the testimony that has been passed to you. We've got to take our turn and do what we can to show that we've got the most wonderful Savior in the whole wide world. The testimony is now up to us. To have this testimony, I want you to read on. In verse 14, you've got to make a decision. I want you to see the very first word, settle it. See, I want you to understand something. You've got to settle it in your heart what you're going to do. And I mean settle it. I'm not talking wishy-washy. I'm not talking with your fingers crossed. You've got to settle it in your heart that it's your turn. It's amazing to watch the kids out on the playground. I've never heard the words, "you're not being fair," more in my whole life than I hear out on that playground. 10 minutes, "you're not playing fair. I don't want to be on your team. You're not playing fair." Why? Because it's not your turn. You want to take their turn. You want to take a turn. It's my turn. I want to do it. It's my turn. Do you know we still, Brother Bill, we still have the same wondrous story to tell that those men back there had. Has the story changed? No, you better listen to me tonight. I'm not playing around. The story has not changed. It's just fallen to you. The story's the same. You better settle it. You better know what it is. You better know what the gospel is, where the gospel is, how to tell somebody about Christ. You better know why you do what you do. You better settle it. Because I'm worried that my children, when it comes their turn, won't know. Do you know throughout all the ages it's become more and more diluted? Throughout all the ages and all the splinters and all the factions of religion that happen today, you can't even get a church to put a name on the church door. You can't even get them to claim a denomination. Why? They're chicken. Well, if we take Baptist off like they did down the street, "oh, you not talk about church. You shouldn't do that. Don't name other people." You know, it's about time somebody gets named. It used to be Portage Community Baptist Temple. I'm glad they took Baptist off because they obviously were not. Now, you may not like that. You may not think it's a denomination. In my opinion, it makes a difference. It makes a difference who you serve, how you serve, where you serve. That testimony's been passed on to us, and it's our turn. If you think for 1 minute that Independent Fundamental Baptist, we got to put a title 8 miles long now just to say who we are. They'll put Independent Fundamental Baptist and then take inspiration off the Bible. Well, you're not in my league then. You put a question mark behind the Word of God, I'm putting a question mark behind my friendship with you. Why? I got lots of friends that don't put a question mark behind it. It's fallen to me. The Bible says, "He shall preserve them." Why would I want to get out of that league? The testimony's fallen to me. The testimony's fallen to you. Now it's easy to take this testimony and not have it settled. It's easy to take this testimony and not have it settled and have the preachers get rid of their ties. Have the preachers take off their suit coats and start to sing rock and roll songs. It's easy to get rid of that stuff. It's easy to get into the coffee house religion. But that testimony's not fallen to me. The testimony that's fallen to me is the old past. That's what's fallen to me. That's what's fallen to you. You can go ahead and leave this church and go somewhere else that you think fits better, but the testimony's not what fell to you. What fell to you is the local church. That's what fell to you. You better settle it in your heart that you know what that testimony is. Oh, I know that this is not a rah-rah message. This isn't something you're going to go home and say, "thank God I came to church." But let me explain something to you. Who's coming after you? What's the next generation? I worry about this. I worry that my children have nothing to look forward to. I worry that we're going to keep our mouths closed and testimony ends with us. How would you like to be the one swinging the bat with two outs and in the bottom of the ninth? You just don't go up to the plate. It's fallen to us. It's fallen to us, so we better settle it. Settle it where? In our church bylaws? Settle it where? In our church constitution? Most of us don't even know what it says, and we just wrote it not too long ago. You better settle it in your heart. settle in your heart, you're going to come to soul winning. Huh? Settle in your heart that you're going to go out soul winning. Settle in your heart, you're going to have a track with you. Why? It's your turn. Paul, he's no longer here to have every person that he met to warn them with tears. Warn them with tears that if they don't accept Christ, that they're going to go to hell. Do you realize that hell still burns today? For the ones that didn't accept him back in Bible times to the ones that don't accept him now, hell is just as hot. It has fallen to us. It's fallen to us to pass on the testimony of Jesus Christ, that wonderful testimony that was passed on to you. It's our turn to settle it in our hearts that we're going to do something about this next generation. Amelia, where's Graceland going to get it if she doesn't get it here? It's a good thing she's in church, honey. Do you know why? Because if she's not, where's she going to get it? Because it's our duty, it's Amelia's duty as mama to make sure that child has this testimony in her heart. It's your job to make sure your family has this testimony in their heart. It's your job to make sure that they are raised in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ. Why? Who else is going to do it? It's our job. It's fallen to us. This kind of preaching may not pack out buildings, but I bet you it fills your heart. So you've got to think about what I'm telling you today. What happens if it ends with us? I'll never forget, preacher and I were at a flea market, and we passed this man, long hair, hippie type, long hair guy. He had a bunch of VCR movies out in front, and preacher and I are talking to him. Preacher gives him a track. And he says, man, I'd like to give you this track, tell you about the Lord, I can get to heaven. Man says, I'm saved. I went to Bible college and everything. Went to Massillon Bible College, as a matter of fact. He says, I went to Bible college and everything. Preacher says, well, what are you doing? I love that question. He says, what are you doing? Wait a minute now. He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus to come. He didn't take his turn. Are we just waiting for Jesus to come? I know I keep harping on you about this tent revival thing coming up, but if this church decides to just run 3 days, I'm going to throw up. Huh? Huh? If you decide not to have that be an open-ended invitation to go past 8 days, I'm going to continue to throw up. Why? It's our turn. It's our turn. What did Billy Sunday have that we don't? Don't sit there and sneer and think he was something special. He was a man, a sinner, just like you and I. What did he have that we don't? He knew it was his turn. He knew it was his turn to make a difference. He knew it was his turn to get some conviction in his life. He knew it was his turn to start preaching the Word of God without a shame. He knew it was his turn to not be apologetic. He knew it was his turn to go out and do something for Christ. He knew it was his turn to be used. I'm asking you a question. Whose turn is it now? Because he's no longer here, Brother Rich. He's not here. We can't go get Billy Sunday and drag him out to the pavilion. We can't do it. We've just got us, brother. We've just got us. It's our turn. And we can go and drag all the big names in you want, but at the end of the day, it's our turn. Bethel, it's our turn. It's our turn. You and I, our turn. Brother Jim, it's your turn, son. It's yours. You know why I know that, son? Because there's no other Jim Shell. Who else is going to do it? You better settle it in your heart. You better settle it in your heart that you're going to pass on what you know. You old people, you listen to me. My generation's pathetic. We need you. We need you to tell us what you know. You need to tell us how it was. You need to tell us what it was like. Why? So we can pass it on. Our history is being rewritten day after day after day. Did you know that? History of what Washington was and Franklin and all those men that founded our country on the things of God. Those are all going away. Why? So they can rewrite history and not take our turn. The testimony is now up to us. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. I like that. Don't try to come up with something. You ever scold a child? You see their wheels start to move immediately. Children aren't dumb. By the way, adults do this too. I do this all the time to my wife. She started yelling at me. I'm like, I didn't even know that. No one you knew. Oh, you never do that, right? All the men are like, I never do that, honey. Every time, honey, I'm right there with you every time. The Lord says, quit trying to figure out an answer. Settle it and do it. Look at what this says. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate, but before what you shall answer. Don't worry about what you think you got going on. Don't worry about what you think you got to do before you can start serving God. Don't worry about what other people are going to say. Don't worry about the walk up to this altar. Don't worry about the walk back. Don't worry about the tears that you shed here. Don't worry about what it looks like. You better worry about your turn. I'm so sick and tired of people making excuses not to take their turn. Do you realize that a baseball game on a Sunday is not an excuse to not take your turn? Boy, that goes over like a lead balloon, but I don't care. My son was in baseball. He never played a game on church days. Playoffs came along. My son was a pitcher, buddy. He could throw that ball 100 miles an hour. He hit everybody, but he could throw that ball 100 miles an hour, man, as a little kid. You say what you want to. Playoff time came along. Guess where my son was? In this church house. You're lucky a kid doesn't break his leg. You're lucky a kid doesn't have a heart attack on the field because you're having him out of church. Why? It's his turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. When are we going to get right with God? Settle it in our hearts and quit coming up with an answer to take your turn. I don't want to take my turn. I don't want to take my turn. That's the end of it right there. There's your answer. I don't want to take my turn. I don't want to take my turn. I'm interested to see who comes on those tent revival days. I'm interested to see who it is. You may not like me today, but that's the way it goes. You know I'm right, because we've got to have something better than this. We got to have something better than 4 or 5 out on soul winning. We got to have better. We've got to have better than this of praying for people. We got to have better than this. We've got to have better than this. Why? Because who's going to pass it on? It's our turn. Quit waiting for a preacher to do it. Quit waiting for me to do it. I'm so forgetful. You got to tell me 85,000 times before I ever do something. Don't rely on me to do it. You got to tell me. Why don't you take your turn? I'm losing them, preacher. Look at them. They're getting ready to walk out. Lock them doors. We're not going anywhere. Hey, where do you think he got it from? Come on now. He got it because this man took his turn. He got it because this man's taking his turn. He got it because this man's taking his turn. And now it's going to be his time to take his turn. And he's going to take that turn, or we're going to tackle him and beat the fire out of him. Why? Because who else is going to take Colton's place? You better settle it in your heart to quit giving God an answer. Quit giving God, I can't put in the plate. I can't pay my bills. It's your turn. It's your turn. This is get right night. It's your turn. What are you waiting on for your turn? Why are you waiting? The Lord says, do not think about an answer. Look what this says. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You know what's amazing to me? I know this is speaking about people out there persecuting us. I want to get this enemy in you. Think about this for a minute. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries. How many adversaries? Now, there's an adversary that lies inside of you. That adversary is called your flesh. I've been real finicky about this lately. I've been preaching a lot about this lately. I want to make it personal to you. Why? Because I want to see God do great things now, this generation, our turn. It's not something that can't be done. It can be done. The problem with our lives is we look at everything else as too big. That's the answer we give. But inside of you, the Lord says, I will give you wisdom. I will give you a mouth that will defeat all your adversaries, including, Brother Jim, the one inside of you. That adversary inside of you that says you can't do anything for God. That adversary inside of you that you shouldn't do anything for God. Boy, that's a good enemy right there. You shouldn't do anything for God. You shouldn't come to the altar. You shouldn't cry. You shouldn't have somebody get baptized. You shouldn't worry about telling people about Christ, because what do you have to say? What do you have? That flesh, that enemy inside of you, you've got to tell that enemy to go home. Come over here and let the Lord have your mouth. Let the Lord have your wisdom. Let the Lord use you, and you serve Him because it's your turn. I'm glad when I got saved, Ron Brown took his turn. He may not be in the ministry anymore, but he was there for me when I needed him. He took his turn. And because he took his turn, now I'm taking mine. Now, I may not do everything I'm supposed to do with my turn, but I'm sure doing a whole lot more than you. That went over real bad. Well, you're just trying to hold yourself up. I'm a sinner of sinners. But I want God to do something here, and every person in this room can take their turn. Which one of you can't do anything for God? Which one of you? Which one of you is a sinner above all sinners that can do nothing for God because of their sinfulness? Which one of you? Which one of you, because of different circumstances that have come in your life, now have no ability to do anything for God? It's over. I can't do it. Don't come to me with that because Paul murdered Christians. Don't come to me with that because he threw them in jail. Moses, boy, he killed people too. He did a great work for God. I don't believe anybody in here is a murderer. So don't come to me telling me you're too not good enough, you don't have enough wind, you're getting too old. Hogwash, it's your turn. It's your turn and you haven't been picked last. It's your turn and you're expected to do something for God. It's your turn and we at Bethel Baptist Church are expected to do something for Him. We're expected. God didn't save us to sit. God didn't save us to just be here. God didn't just save us so we could have fellowships, which we're very good at. God saved us so we could propagate His gospel and give His testimony and take our turn. The Bible says that someday it's going to fall to us. Someday it's going to fall to us. I believe that day is now. I believe that day is today. The testimony must be a settled testimony. The testimony must be a shared testimony. What good is your testimony if you don't tell others? What good is your testimony if you don't let it out? What good is the knowing about Christ if you don't share Christ? What good is it? Take your turn. That adversary will not be able to gainsay nor resist. You give your life over to God, your flesh won't be able to stand it. It'll crumble. But the flesh is strong. I know it says the flesh is weak, but the flesh is weak towards sin. It's strong against the good. It's very difficult to settle in your hearts that you've got a job to do. To settle in your hearts that we can do it again. Because God wants us to. You shall be betrayed both by parents. Would you be willing to stand and take your turn when your parents turn on you? Brethren, would you be willing to stand even though Christians are standing against you? Kinsfolks? Friends? Would you be willing to lose friends to take your turn? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here because it's fallen to me. It's fallen to you. I make mistakes throughout my life, and I come to the realization later that, boy, if I'd have just been a little bolder, if I would have just been able to do just a little bit more, if I was just able to say one more thing or have a thought on my mind, or it's my turn. See, I've got to have it settled in my heart. I've got to know that no matter... See, I talked about it a little bit this morning. How could we reach our full potential? And I've got to be honest with you, we're not reaching our full potential as Christians. We're not reaching our full potential because we're not reading through our Bibles. You know what? I'm tired of the excuses. I'm willing to admit to you that it's difficult to read through your Bible. I'm also willing to tell you that you are being lazy if you don't. Well, you never said that before. Don't give me a calendar next time, bucko. You do with it what you want, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're never going to settle it in your heart until you read it. You're never going to say, what are you, taking it for granted that we're telling you truth? You're dumb. Why would you take that for granted? Why would you take for granted that sinful men that can't even talk right half the time are telling you the truth? Don't you think you ought to get it out of the Bible? Don't you think you ought to not take that for granted? It's your turn. It's your turn. Here we are on the cusp of maybe the rapture happening very soon. And I would be a fearful thing to see the Lord come back and say, come up hither. And we're saying, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute, God. I'm tired of the excuses. I've been given them. I'm tired of the excuses why I can't tell somebody about Christ. You ever been in too much of a hurry? What a great asset the devil has. Busyness. I'm not talking about the hen house busyness like we've got around here. I'm talking about busyness. I'm talking about being busy, having your life filled with things. You know, we as Christians have an opportunity to take our turn. What would they write about you? I'm not interested in getting things written about me, but what would they write about you? What would they say about you, how you lived your life? Would you be a Paul? Well, come on, preacher. He's in the Bible. He's got the same God you've got. What about Jack Hiles? You know, he was wonderful. Do you know he made mistakes too and probably had stinky feet? But he took his turn. Brother Bill, we ain't got time, brother. We ain't got time to fool around with all the stupidity that happens. Brother, we've got to take our turn now. Right now. See, we can't wait. We can't wait. Why? Because what if he comes back tomorrow? What if he comes back while I'm preaching? What we're going to do is go ahead and pull each other into a room and cuss each other out and gossip and do all the things that cut down Christians when it's our turn. Huh? I know this is going over like a little bit. It's already 7:05. I'm almost done. And I know you can't wait. Can't wait to get to the altar, right? I mean, can you imagine getting picked for the kickball team? It's your turn to kick and you turn around this way. Ball's coming and you turn around, don't take your turn. What do you think your team's going to do? What are you doing? I promise you, my son's there. He is going to not be happy with you not taking your turn. No, Christian, you need to know this. It's your turn now. Now. Not tomorrow. Now, today. It's your turn. It's fallen to you. All throughout the, hey, you got saved. You're the one that signed up. No takesy backsies. It's now our turn to tell somebody. It's now our turn to propagate the gospel. It's now our turn to build a big work. It's now our turn to tell people about Him. It's now our turn to read our Bible. It's now our turn to give our money. It's now our turn to pass that testimony. It's now our turn to listen to the right music, to do the right things, to give our kids something to look forward to. It's our turn. And I'm not going to be a preacher that you're going to be able to say that he didn't take his turn passing on the old paths. I'd rather lose friends, family, loved ones. Cast them all aside. It's my turn. This testimony that we're passing down should be something that you treasure. Not something you change. Not something you try to wrap in your own package. This should be a treasured testimony. It was bled for. It was died for. Many, many, many people gave their lives for the book that we won't read. This testimony not only needs to be treasured, it needs to be steadfast. It needs to not change. It can't change. The Lord your God changes not. We can't give them a changing God. It needs to be a taught testimony. And I'm all done. It's our turn. But John, someday our turn is not going to be here anymore. If you died today, who's going to take your turn? If you died today, right now, Who's coming behind you? What did you do to make sure that this, when it fell to you, you were able to push it down the road to someone else? Because one day, it's his turn. One day, it's Andrea's baby's turn. One day, it's Alicia and Jack's baby's turn. Wade and Sydney and Gracelyn, it's their turn. What are they going to know? Are they going to know that church really isn't that important? Are they going to never see you pray? Are they going to never see you walk the aisle because it just, I just want church to be over? Are they never going to get to see the grand revivals? I don't want my grandbabies to grow up in a world like that. I don't want my grandbabies to grow up in a world where Facebook is more important than God's book. I don't want my babies to grow up in a world where they never saw their daddy to open his Bible. I don't want my babies to grow up, my grandbabies to grow up in a world that they don't know Christ. We hear about it all over the world. Preacher went to Saul, Germany. People didn't know who he was. Well, let me tell you something. We're coming that direction. I guarantee you there's people that have picked up bus kids today that did not know who Jesus was. Didn't even know the name. Why? Because we're not taking our turn. Why was that boy here at the altar? Why? Because the bus people took their turn. Listen to me. We've got to have something to pass on to our kids. We've got to. It fell to us. They passed it to us. Why can't we pass it down the road? I want to make sure that I give him the old songs. Hold this, son. I want to make sure I pass down the King James Bible to my kids and to my grandkids. I want to pass down the power of prayer and the joy of soul winning and the joy of serving Christ. Why would your kids want to serve Christ? You don't like doing it anyhow. We're going to try to put this path in. Where will you be? Well, that's not serving Jesus. That's just cutting a swath in the woods. What's that all about? Where are you going to be? Christians, this is the days. This is your days. Yours. Don't look around the room. Make this personal. It's you. It's on you. It's on you. I want to pass down something to my kids, and I'm not doing a good enough job. Boy, it's quiet. I'm going to read these scriptures one more time, and we're going to pray, but I've got to ask you this question one more time. Whose turn is it? Before all these, they shall lay hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, for the name of Christ. And it shall turn to you. It shall turn to you. Not so you can turn away. It shall turn to you, not so you can change it. It shall turn to you, not so you can make it different. Not so you can make it more palatable for this world. Not so you can make it sweeter to the taste of the worldly children. It's going to fall to us to become a testimony. A settled, done testimony that has not changed and it will not change. Why? Because we're going to take our turn. It shall turn to you. It's here today. That's it. It's today. It's turned to you. It's turned to me. And it's time we take our turn. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the honor and opportunity it was to preach. Lord, we're going to have to get out of this world. Lord, we're going to have to get away from the things that so easily beset us. We're going to have to get out of those things that take our turn away and take our focus away. And God, we got a job to do. And Lord, the turn has fallen to us. The men that we talked about and the ladies we talked about, the great heroes of the faith, Lord, they're gone. Our heroes are now. Our heroes are today. It's our turn. It's our turn. It's not time to be quibbling and fighting and stabbing each other. It's time that we take our turn. Oh, there's going to be days when we fight with each other, just as Paul and Barnabas did. There's going to be days that we fight with each other because we don't agree. But that doesn't mean we can't take our turn. Lord God, help us. Help us to take a stand. Help us to take our turn. These babies got to have something. Because I worry in the days to come, the turns will no longer be taken. And I don't want your name to die out on my watch. I don't want your name to die out on the turn that I was supposed to take. Lord, help me to be better at it. Help me to be more forward with it. Lord, help to control my mouth and my thoughts and my actions. Lord, help me to take my turn. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, the altar's already open. There's already folks here. You may come whenever you want, but I just got a question for you. Do you know that you know that you know 100% sure that if you died today that you'd go to heaven? If you do, put your hand up real big and tall for a testimony. You know that you know that you know. You may put them down. I think I saw everybody's hand, but I'm going to be honest with you. I still have to tell you, Jesus loves you. He died for you. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you do not know that you're saved, but you would like to know, could you put your hand up real big and tall? Then here's the next statement. If you're saved in here, it's your turn. It's not anybody else's. It's yours. It's not anybody else's. Don't you wait for somebody else to take your turn. It's yours. It's fallen to us to give a testimony of our Lord. It's fallen to us to propagate the gospel. It's fallen to us to bless people and let them know about that Savior that loves you so much. It's fallen to us. It's fallen to us. It's fallen to us. I'm just curious. Will you step in and take your turn? Preacher, would you please come?
If you don't take your turn, who will? What page, John? 366. Let's all stand, we'll sing. You want to come, you come.